this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon her glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more. We're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, January 24th, 2026. Hope you folks out there are doing well. We'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And Tim, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
I would. Oh, Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, for another opportunity, the gift of the opportunity to serve our Heavenly Father in his kingdom, Lord. And we pray that you would make our efforts worthy of our great God, that you would grant us wisdom, first of all, Lord, strength, and Lord, that we would be good ambassadors, as Paul said. Lord, that we would shine forth your word, your light, and your reason, Lord, and that you would prepare minds and hearts to receive your truth. And Lord, that you would guard our tongues, that we might not say things that we ought not, but that we would proclaim the liberty of Jesus Christ in all things. and his power. We pray a hedge of protection about this ministry, about our family, for health and safety, prosperity, Lord, and the continuation and growth of your kingdom. And we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And we praise the name of Jesus Christ daily. Lord, we pray that we live to see you make your enemies your footstool. We thank you for the opportunity again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Well, there is an awful lot going on and an awful lot to talk about. But, man, I'll tell you what, we got cold here in Colorado. Not that it's out of the ordinary for, you know, into January by any means, but, yeah, a brisk 0 degrees, you know, from when you've been in the 60s and 70s lately, it sure, it's kind of a shocker.
Yeah. Yes. And it's kind of, like, everything's in a deep freeze all the way around there.
It really is. Yeah, we went to... Me and my wife went and walked downtown last night and kind of got away for a little bit. Things have been crazy, so we went downtown and went to get a bite to eat. And it was you know, when the hairs in the inside of your nose are freezing when you're walking down and you can't feel your earlobes after being outside for about 5 or 10 minutes, it's cold. It was definitely not the normal for as of late for around here. And we did get some snow, which we did need the moisture, but it didn't amount to a whole lot. But, yeah, it's it looks like it is brisk pretty much all across the country.
Normally, I listen to you guys and kind of just live vicariously through y'all. Like, man, it would be good to live up and get four seasons and have the cold weather. So it's cold here, and I remember why I live in South Texas. It's cold, and when it gets cold down here, it's cold. I was telling Tim we're like 35 degrees and this is going to be our high for the day. We've already hit it. It's just going to keep dropping through the day, so people are losing their mind down here. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I got a text from David from down in Texas, and he was telling me that they're going to have some bad roads and stuff down there in Texas. And he said, you should jump on a plane and come down here and we could go find a place to watch. Cause he said, it's going to be a mess.
Yes, this is, it is going to be a mess. That's, we've known this was coming for the, you know, last few days, and it's fun to watch the weatherman try to predict stuff. And, it's just funny how in the moment it seems like things change, that, you know, this was all supposed to start happening tomorrow evening. Well, it's like 24 hours ahead of time and a lot colder than they expected. So I don't know. I like it. I mean, it's good to have some cold weather.
Yeah, it is. I think it's real.
Up a little bit.
Yeah, it's healthy.
Well, yeah. It'll get rid of the bugs. You know,
yeah.
So that's what we always, it's like, well, if nothing else, at least it'll get rid of the bugs. So,
for me down here, it's kind of nice to be able to drive around and not have panhandlers. That's kind of nice. I don't know.
No doubt.
That makes them go away for a few days.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and I just was chuckling a little bit ago because I just, the governor here just declared a state of emergency over this cold, and I'm going, and it's like, what's new about this? I mean, I like the 60 degree stuff better. Don't get me wrong, but, everybody I know has said for a while now throughout, December and everything, well, you know, sooner or later, it's going to catch up, you know, and, here it comes, and, state of emergency. So, I think that's, it's like, really?
It's interesting. I don't know if people listening to us, I know Tim and I were kind of just talking about this for a second, how the whole state of emergency and FEMA system works. And I'm not saying this about your governor, Tim, necessarily, but I think a lot of times these state of emergencies, because, you know, they'll declare them 3, 4, 5 days before anything hits. and they declare these state of emergencies. And what it does is it opens up supposedly federal resources. Really what it is, I shouldn't say this every time, but what I will say is, like, if a governor declares a state of emergency and he sends his road crews out to, salt or de-ice or sand the roads or whatever, he can claim that as emergency relief and have federal funds pay for his state workers. And it's a way for state governments to conserve their money. I don't know if that's making sense what I'm trying to say, but in a lot of instances, I think it's a way to play the system. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it or not.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think it's a way that they can take it out of the state's budget. When that happens, then they get funding from the feds, and it's we've noticed that. We've had that happen with wildfires and stuff like that. They like to declare those state of emergency because then they get their federal money.
It also opens access to things like DHS funds or help, FEMA, like you said, Will said FEMA already, but also National Guard access as far as the Fed picking up the payment on the National Guard helping out. Yeah, we've got all these riots and protests going on across the state. I mean, we did have some protesters down here at our local courthouse the other day concerning ICE and some of that, which was like, really? That's different. I haven't seen that before.
That's interesting.
But, the point being that, there may be some access there that would be harder to get to somewhere. They don't argue too much about the weather. It's like, well, yeah, it's weather. So, you still can gain access to other programs, funds, and authorities that might be harder to get a hold of. Possibly. That's just a thought.
True.
And money.
And money.
Now, one of the things that I've seen, and I don't know if this would count or not, but where the states wanted money for different programs and stuff, and basically the federal government said no because you're failing to abide or enforce federal law. I know that that's come up on a couple different things, but I don't know if this had, does it, anytime that they're looking at, getting this federal funding, do they have to comply with, federal regulations?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they beat them.
Short answer, yes.
Pretty regular. Yeah.
Yeah, short answer, yes. Now, the deal on that is, that changes from administration to administration. With the Biden administration, within law enforcement and different grant programs, the DEI was really shoved down people's throat of, yeah, you can be eligible for this money, but you have to, have transsexuals and all of that. So it works both ways for sure. And with this administration, it wouldn't surprise me if you're trying to get federal funding to put in new water lines in your municipality that you're going to have to, round up the illegal workers once they've put the water line in. That's part of the grant that you have to arrest them upon the completion of the job. So I don't know. There's always strings attached.
Yeah, there is. I was talking with a friend of mine who just recently got married, and he was down in Phoenix, and guy that me and my brother grew up with, and he had a really, really good job. He was a supervisor, and he had transferred from Amazon, or I can't remember if he was at Amazon and went over to a Walmart distribution center, but he ran a crew that worked on the robots for sorting merchandise and packaging boxes and stuff like that. And he really liked his job because he liked playing around with stuff like that. And he had a really good crew of guys, and that DEI stuff, they came in and crammed that down his throat. And pretty soon, I mean, he could hire anybody except for a white straight guy. It was, he had to have so many queers working for him, so many colored people, so many trannies and this and that. And he had to take a step back And he quit that and went and got another job that paid about half as much money just so he didn't have to deal with it. But it was just, he was telling me about it, and it was just like, you know, he said that, you know, those people, he said there's something wrong with them in the head. And he's like, they're not supposed to be working on equipment that will eat you up and spit you out and could kill you, or you could lose a finger or an arm when you're working on it. He's like, he said it was just a bad deal. But he said that a lot of that has worked its way out of the food chain, so to speak, because people got they kind of realized that this doesn't work.
So what you're saying is if I come across a one-armed tranny, I know that he was working on robots.
Probably.
At the Walmart distribution.
Yeah, got it. Exactly.
I don't. Yeah.
Well, and we've talked about it in depth a lot of times over heavy equipment, the trucking industry and the mining industry and things like that. A lot of these, I'll call them aliens, to me that group, you have the illegal aliens and you have the LGBTQ group, and you have, they're all aliens because they're all aliens the way God makes things. But those people don't play well at anything like that. I mean, they total failure to launch when it comes to any type of output that matters. And I think that's the thing that I always notice is they don't contribute anything. I mean, they consume, but they don't contribute. They just, there's never anything good come out of what they do. I mean, that's just I think that's kind of the underlying thing there. They're
like destroyers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't show any forward thought that is cause and effect. You know what I mean? It's like, put your hand in the fire, it will burn you. You know, it doesn't know. No connection. Go ahead, Will.
You know, let's remember that on the entire continent of Africa, there wasn't a building that was above one story before colonization. They were incapable of figuring out how to build a multi-story building. And so those, and I'm maybe it's too early in the show to get so harsh, but we're talking about, in my opinion, a sub-average IQ group of people that we're bringing over to operate for, like Jason was talking about, to work on robots. You know, like that's not, to me, it's the same mentality. You know, several years back, we were talking about with kids that there was this push within the public school systems and the different extracurricular activities that there is no first place anymore, right? Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets to be a winner. Well, that's not life. You tell that to the gazelle that's running from the lion. Right. I mean, not everybody gets to be a winner. There's not going to be a harmonious outcome on that. And the way the world is set up, there's always going to be winners and there's always going to be losers. And I think the same idea of every kid getting a trophy is the same idea, this hippie commune leftist thinking that every human being can be a robot engineer. Well, that's not true. Not true. Just like not every human being can be a heavy equipment operator or tractor trailer driver. I mean, we're all geared and wired differently, and it's true. We all have talents that don't necessarily translate to specific occupations or professions. And like I said, maybe it's early in the show, but I will tell you there are certain groups, subgroups of people, call them aliens or whatever you want to call them, across this world, they are built for certain jobs, and it's not to be rocket scientists. You know, I like to point out my southern neighbor down here. Can anyone tell me a space program or like a rocket scientist that came out of Mexico?
They can't.
The answer's no.
Right. No. Yeah. I've laughed because of compared to our country, in a lot of ways, as far as a resource-rich, you know, area and things that could go on. Mexico is extremely backwards compared to us, but there's ton of things that they have that would be better than what we've got. But no, nope,
sure.
It just doesn't happen. Yeah. So it's oil and minerals and all kinds of stuff. I mean, anybody who's ever studied any of the geophysics of or geopolitical aspects of Mexico, it's like, wow, man, that's a real treasure trove down there. But it doesn't get used for, you know, the increase to the betterment of the Mexican people.
If you look at Mexico, basically from the beginning, and I don't claim to be any type of historian on Mexico or anything like that. It's just I tried to educate myself as much as I could. Mexico, with the indigenous Indian people they had there, you know, until the Spaniards came, they were killing each other with sharpened sticks and, you know, gutting virgins to appease sun gods. I mean, that's what they were. They were heathens. They were barbarian people. The only reason why there's electricity and running water in the places where there's electricity and running water is because of the Europeans, whether it be the Spaniards, the French, or the Germans, and to a certain extent, the Americans as well. And I recently was having a little bit of a conversation of, you know, it's fairly common that we'll actually get doctors that come over into Texas that that are Mexicans that I guess through some whatever programs they were able to come here, and the teaching hospitals that were set up in places like Mexico City, they were set up by the French and the Germans. This wasn't something that the Mexican people did themselves. So the only quote modern medicine that exists in Mexico exists because of European people. And I think the point I'm trying to make here is, and after those people have left, because there's not a huge population of Germans or French in Mexico anymore, you have seen the gradual decline of the quality of medicine and engineering. So when we were there, things were prosperous in Mexico. When we left, things fell apart. Kind of to your point, Tim, is the only exploitation of the mining and the oil gas industry in Mexico is because of the European people. They didn't do that themselves. They have zero interest in it. They have zero interest. They don't even know what to do with it. And but they'll sell it off quickly, and because they understand greed, they understand money. And yeah, so that's I'm rambling a little bit this morning, but I'll tell you, the whole idea of people are people, everybody wins a trophy. If you stop and objectively look at it, you realize no, they don't. That's not how that works. Look at South Africa. You know, there were nuclear power plants. You know, South Africa's power grid was an example for the entire world. That little country over there, they were able to power basically southern Africa. And that was because of one group of people. And after those group of people were removed from power, you're lucky if you get 8 hours of electricity in South Africa now. And it didn't take long for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even just a quick throw out, even the toilets don't work in Mexico very good. You know, I mean,
no.
We see what happens just like countries like Venezuela, you know, pretty soon they're eating sea animals and everything because they kicked everybody out. They were going to do all this and that. The next thing you know, they don't have, and it's a recurring theme across the world. It really is.
Sure.
They just don't, there's no, I like that saying, it goes to something like when everyone's special, then no one is at all, you know, and,
yeah.
That's the thing. There are, and I'm not saying I'm special. I'm just saying that there's definitely people out there who lead the way, who have really good ideas, and we, you know, they're blessed. They're divinely blessed. They could do that. And when we ignore that, and that's what you do when you give everybody a participation trophy, it's like you denigrate the gift that God has given.
I think along those lines, what you're saying there, Tim, really is, isn't that kind of a, one of the enemy's weapons, that if you make it look like everybody's blessed, people really don't recognize the blessed people.
Yeah. Or the God that does the blessing. Yeah, exactly.
Or the God that does the blessing. Right. It's just, it's another way of man trying to be God, that, you know, you're able to just uniformly bless everyone and everybody gets a trophy or everybody wins. And I don't think that's in keeping with God's plan at all. But, hey, Jason, can I get graphic for 1 second?
It might be a little graphic. Fire away.
Okay. Tim said something, and I just, it's the world that I live in down here, so I wanted to share it with the rest of everybody else. You know, I'm not originally from here, and I came from over in Georgia on the East Coast, and I moved down to South Texas almost 20 years ago now, and something, I came here, and I couldn't make, I did not have a real a lot of experience with Mexican people being from over there. And, I came down here and I would go into a truck stop, which is like Flying J, you know, truck stop or a Travel America truck stop somewhere. And I would go to the toilet stalls, and in every toilet stall, there were trash cans.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yep.
And there were signs, printed out signs in Spanish. And it took me a little bit to realize they are accommodating people who have no idea how to use a toilet. That these are people in the 21st century that apparently have never seen indoor plumbing or know how to operate a toilet. And I'll let everyone listening use their imagination of what the trash cans were for. And I start asking, and I was told, oh, yeah, if you don't put those signs up, you know, those people, they're in trouble that operate those bathrooms. And everybody, they are different. There's no other way to say it. I don't want to say evolve because I don't really believe in evolution, but these are people who have not progressed into civilization. Their level of civilization is very much behind ours. Is that a good way of saying that?
Yeah.
And,
well, I remember.
And that's the lie. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to tell you. So takes me back, and because it'll probably never come up again. But me and Pastor Peters had that conversation, and we went into one day, and this was a Mexican restaurant that we frequented quite a bit, and we were getting more Mexicans moving up into Laramie and Colorado. Oh, this was probably 25 years ago, and all of a sudden, that's when they started putting these trash cans with the same signs in the bathrooms, and it was... Well, we were talking about it, and, you know, because you go into the bathroom, all of a sudden you go into the bathroom, and there'd just be a pile of used toilet paper there next to the toilet. And so they had to have the signs, and then they put the trash cans in and all that kind of stuff and everything like that. And I remember Pastor Peters, he was talking with the guy, one of the guys that was a Mexican guy, but he was, we've known him for years. He owned a Mexican restaurant there in town, and, you know, he was asking him, he's like, okay, well, so what is the deal with this? And he's like, well, it's because they come up here and they don't have plumbing and they don't know. And he's like, and you can't teach them that. He's like, you can't teach them to flush their toilet paper in the toilet. He said, no, he says, that is a bunch of garbage. He said, this is just the way that these stinking Mexicans are having a way of pooping on us. And he didn't use the word pooping. He said, right. That's what this is all about. He's like, this is about pooping on Whitey. And I agree with him 100%.
I don't disagree. Yeah. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, that's surely what they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the outcome.
I mean, that's the outcome. Absolutely. I just find it disgusting, and for whatever the purpose or reason, the main thing, that's a real world example of they really want the world to, they really want Americans to believe, by Americans, I mean like a white Americans, that, hey, we're all the same, you know, we're all the same people. And I'm living down here thinking, no, no, we're not. I mean,
right.
We're not the same. And, you know, I could bring somebody over from Hungary or Poland or someplace like that, and I promise you, I wouldn't have to put a trash can in the bathroom stall.
Right.
Yeah. If they could figure it out.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. This is just another hallmark. Yeah. Well, at any rate, it's definitely one of those yardsticks that's not the same.
So, not the same. Yeah.
We are not the same.
Not
no.
the
we
same.
Are not sure the same. Yeah. All together. But I thought it was interesting in the course of looking around on world news things, just to kind of shift gears a little bit, but I thought it was interesting how many things we're pulling out of and how many things, you know, I hear FEMA's closing. Has anybody heard that? I mean, I'm hearing rumors about that.
I've heard rumors about it, and I hope they shut them down. I hate that organization.
Oh yeah. And
go ahead, Tim. I know Trump has been very vocal that he wants to take the entire FEMA budget and redistribute it back to the states where it belongs.
It would be much. I don't know if that's the ultimate answer, but it's sure better than what we have. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Yep. Yeah. And there, I did see where we're pulling out of the World Health Organization.
So yeah, I did I see that too. That's awesome.
Yeah, and there's talk about pulling out of UN, and then there's talk about. I think it's interesting that we just have people there talking about NATO can take care of itself as far as you know. We just got the Finnish president's like carrying on. Well, you know, so it sounds like maybe the U.S. is kind of on the outs with NATO. And I suppose that ties back into the Greenland deal. But it's I'm not sure how the EU and NATO can take care of themselves, since we're like seem to be we're kind of the money bags of that whole operation. It seems to me like, but whatever. I'm glad that they're. It'd be all right with me if we got out of it. It's like, no, great. But anyhow, but then we turn around and we're, have you guys heard about this whole, what is it called? It's the Ministry of Peace, but.
Board of Peace.
Board of Peace, thank you. Yeah, and they're inviting everybody, and that kind of ties back in with Gaza. And I know we talk about Gaza a lot, but hasn't it been interesting that it hasn't been in the news all that much lately, all of a sudden? So you start digging into that. And Trump, supposedly they're inviting all these different people to be in. I guess Putin got an invitation to join, supposedly said yes. But
yep.
I did think it was interesting that they uninvited the Canadian Prime Minister.
And that,
we don't want you. Yeah, go ahead.
I think Trump wants the country. He just doesn't want the prime minister there. So before we get off the whole WHO thing, the World Health Organization, I don't know if y'all caught this because it happened fairly late yesterday, but, you know, they've been having the Davos thing over in Switzerland, you know, with all of these international elites over there. And I find this interesting as I'll get out. So Trump pulls us out of WHO, which is a great thing, the World Health Organization, and a lot of it had to do with COVID. And I mean, and for whatever the reasons, we're out, and that's a good thing. Immediately, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, announced while at Davos, because he was a governor that's there at Davos, that California is joining the World Health Organization. So the only state in the United States that is joining up with an international organization. So the state of California says the United States is left, but California, we're we're still a part of the United Nations. We're gonna take part in the World Health Organization, and that was announced yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, what a pick me moment.
But that guy's really a piece of work over there.
And every time I talk about Gavin Newsom, I just want to remind people, fact check me, that is Nancy Pelosi's nephew.
Right.
No kidding. There is a crime family that runs California, and the Pelosis are it. And Gavin Newsom is Nancy Pelosi's nephew. That doesn't get said a lot, but it's legit, folks. Anyways, you know, in my mind, when I let my mind wander, I keep thinking, you know, with all of this stuff that's happening in Minnesota or whatever, it's funny to me that the states that are now real big on states' rights, they hated states' rights, like in the American Civil War when Obama was in office, but now they're claiming their states' rights. And I'm thinking, like, what are the chances that California will say, we just want to go it alone?
Yeah. I think it's very possible.
I'm for it. But just this kind of move got me to thinking, like, you know, that's pretty bold. Maybe they'll just say we want to be by ourselves, which is okay.
Yeah, that would be all right.
I think they'd pretty much plow their face into the cement in the week, but it is. Well, and it's interesting talking about the world, you know, about WHO pulling out and everything, and then we turn around and have got we've got the Children's Health Defense is they're hitting the American Academy of Pediatrics with I think it's a. It's a RICO suit is what it is. And RICO is racketeering, right? I mean, but they're hitting them with that as far as defrauding American families about the safety of the child with the vaccine schedule. So, and that's been filed in D.C. Whether it goes anywhere, I mean, that was just filed January 21st, so a couple days ago. Two or three days ago, and there's some pretty heavy duty. I mean, the AAP has 67,000 members in the U.S. Basically, this is going to shine some light on things. I mean, and this is part of the, and this ties right back into WHO again. So, I'm sure that there's defense funds and everything else that are in place for the pediatricians involved in that, but it's such a racket that has went on. And again, you're back to, we were talking about Mexico a little bit ago about killing each other at point sticks and sacrificing virgins, and they were also sacrificing children. And I think
that's right.
Some of this ties back into that. You know, people are like, I don't understand the abortion. I don't understand the vaccine damaging children. And I think it goes back into, it's more nefarious and deeper than just money. I think it's also about sacrifice, strength, God, you know. And when we see that, I this is a good thing, I think, you know. So
yeah. It kind of, in putting that in perspective of talking about these childhood vaccines and the systematic, just the murder of children, the torturing of children with these vaccines, the childhood illnesses that have been just perpetrated on us, it kind of puts in that perspective of Jesus in Matthew 18:6 talking about whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, you know, and that sort of thing. I think Jesus made it clear what he thinks about these people. That would do wage war against our children. And I would like to think, whether it's conscious or subconscious, maybe that's why a lot of these decisions are being made. And the Children's Health Defense Network really is a good organization. And I'm glad they're going to war with the RICO statutes. I think that's a novel and very intelligent way to go after these childhood vaccine makers across state lines. I think that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. I thought it was significant.
Wow. Use the system against them. I like it.
Derek sent me a message, and he said, good point by Will earlier regarding Canada. Here's how it works. The average Anglo-Saxon would join America today. Yes, sir. I hear it all the time from men.
Yep.
People are fed up with the Marxist carnages of the world. He says he knows people that have already moved to the USA. And it was interesting because they're having kind of like we're having we were talking about the Mexican problem. They've got the Indian problem, and he sent me a thing, and this girl goes viral on this video because exposing all the Indians that go down to their beaches and start pooping all over the beaches, and they had to put up signs that say poop and scoop, and but it's talking about another group of the enemy that's coming in to. That is doing their job and infiltrating a white Anglo-Saxon area.
Well, and everybody wonders why. I mean, this stuff is kind of like talking about some of this is like, well, that's gross. But the truth of the matter is you wonder why Anglo societies have less disease and everything else. You're looking at it right there. I mean, that's like a cornerstone of disease control, right? I mean, you can't get into any kind of prepper or survival type situation where one of the first things that's addressed is cleanliness and that kind of stuff. So, and even the Bible talks about it. In the Old Testament, take a shovel, do this, do that, because otherwise God will find you. He won't come in your camp. Go ahead.
Well, no, just the whole, we think about food laws a lot as far as the Bible is concerned, but there's sanitary laws all through the Old Testament. And like you were just talking about then with taking a shovel, if you go into poop, you do it outside of the camp and you bury it. There's a certain way you're supposed to do it. And God knows because it's all God's creation, right? And God knew how to keep his people healthy. And like a lot of the sin, we know better, right? So our people, because Jesus is love. Don't forget that, people, right? Jesus just loves everybody. And we're supposed to just welcome all of these dirty, filthy aliens without them assimilating into the United States. And what do? They're literally pooping in our pool. That's what they're doing. They're coming in, and we as European, as Anglo people, our sanitation, just the invention, the engineering that we have done over the years to have proper sanitation. Well, there's a reason why that's unique with our people. It's unique with our people because we're people of the book, and we follow that Mosaic law through time, and it just naturally progressed as society progressed, that the level of sanitation and hygiene amongst our people were through the roof compared to the rest of the world. Well, how do you attack that? Well, you bring the rest of the world in that hasn't assimilated, that hasn't lived up to those laws because that law is not on their heart, and you let them come in and, a little bit of leaven's the whole loaf. They come in and they literally piss in the pool and everything gets contaminated. It's a weird way to something to think about. But it's just another attack on God's law and God's people.
Yes, exactly.
I got something to say about Canada.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna jump back to that real quick. I gotta take a sip of coffee. Hold on. Sorry, I'm freezing. It's cold. All right. Alberta, and maybe Derek will know more about this. I'm not an expert on it, but as we speak, I think they're still voting today. Alberta, which is just above Montana, think about that Rocky Mountain range that goes up into Canada. Alberta that province is taking a vote. It's a petition, and they're voting, they're signing this petition to separate from Canada. They want to separate from Canada, and my understanding is they have to by Canadian law, I guess. I guess this Canadian constitutional law. They have to have 111,000 signatures in order for this to go into a full official vote. They're expecting to get 1 million signatures to separate.
Wow.
So they're expecting to
get
way more than is needed. And I think if the numbers, and, you know, it wasn't 111, it's 178,000 that they're supposed to get in order for it to be an official vote. Anyways, they're thinking they may get upwards of 1 million signatures to put this in an official referendum. And I think there's only like 3 million people in Alberta. It's not a real populous province. But if the Canadian government allows this, like, you may see this year Alberta vote to not be a part of Canada anymore. And the danger of this, as I understand it, is Saskatchewan is kind of rubbing their hands off in the corner watching what's going to happen with Alberta. And if Alberta's successful, then Saskatchewan is ready to do the exact same thing.
Really? Wow.
So
that'd be huge.
It would be huge. And Alberta has really taken a rebel stance towards the government and Ottawa. They really have said, we're not like you. And if you look at those folks, they're cowboys and oil men. And, you know, that's where all the cattle is and all the oil industries there. And they want to be separate. My understanding on this is this doesn't make them a part of the United States or anything like that. It makes them themselves, that they are just going to be autonomous from. Yeah, they will be independent. That's right. And they can choose to deal with whomever they wish to deal with as far as the United States when it comes to oil production and that sort of thing. Kind of as an aside, I was reading there's a lot of backdoor talking going on with the Trump administration with the government in Alberta, where the United States is telling them, you guys go independent and we will enter into an agreement for security, for infrastructure, whatever you need. And Trump has, I guess, at least on a backside, back channel, said, y'all can be independent and we'll support you 100%. You can have your own government and we'll make sure nobody jacks with you. So I that's a huge story that's not getting reported.
Exactly. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny how much Ottawa is playing it down. You know, it's like, yes. Oh, well, it's a nothing burger. And usually when that happens, it means it's a big deal. You know,
yeah. Like,
we don't want to talk about that.
Whenever the government tells you there's nothing to see here, you better look pretty hard because you probably can see it all if you bother to look.
Yeah. That is very interesting. I think public sentiment's pretty much toward that. Like Jason said, 1 million people, that's a lot of people supposedly lining up. And the weather's not exactly great there. So
no.
Yeah. And
no, Derek said it was 27 below zero up where he was at. He sent me a picture of the thermostat or the weather forecast. And it's like, oh, wow. I thought we were cold, but another 30 degrees colder. That's really cold.
Yes.
And last night, after I took a shower, I ran back over to the shop to take care of a couple things. And between my house and my shop, which isn't very, you know, very far, my hair froze. And it just made me laugh. It was just one of those things that was funny. I went back over for a few minutes, did some stuff, and it was late last night, came back over to the house, and my wife was like, your hair is frozen. And yeah, it was frozen.
That's wild.
From your front door to the shop, what is that, 20 yards? 25?
Yeah, 25, 30 yards.
Yeah. Wow.
Not very far. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Those people are going out in that, though. I mean, that's some, they got some, you know, conviction about getting something done there. That's
I was going to say, if you're pissed off enough, that keeps you pretty warm.
They're their own heat generators. Yeah.
That's right. So. That's right. I like to see it, well, though. I think this is great. I really do. I think it's great for our people, no matter where they're at, to be standing up. I mean, what's happening in Alberta, we've seen it happen in France and Ireland and England, and it's just good to see. I like it.
Well, like you say, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. I mean, and that's, to me, that's a good thing, because people start waking up, start asking questions, and start looking around. The truth's there; they've got to look at it. So,
yep.
We're seeing those kinds of things go on that are, well, a blessing. I mean, it's amazing.
No doubt.
Well, what else do you see, Tim? That's interesting going on.
Well, this whole war to peace and thing going on over there in the Middle East is, to me, it's, I don't know how to exactly get into it, but one of the things I thought was interesting is we were talking about the Davos conference going on over there, and we've got, what's his name, Kushner or whatever, I think.
Jared Trump's Kushner.
He's over there making noise for the master plan for reconstruction over there. And it's interesting to me. I mean, first off, I'm going to say he's the son-in-law, and he's a Jew. I mean, he's like, well, you know, it's all about, there's no plan B. We have a master plan. If Hamas doesn't demilitarize, it'll hold back the people of Gaza from achieving their aspirations. And I think he's got the wrong name in there. I kind of feel like that's more like Israel achieving their aspirations. But he basically presented a 20-point ceasefire plan by the Board of Peace. And they're inviting all these world leaders. And my own opinion on a lot of this is that we're seeing the devolving of things like the UN, WHO, NATO, different groups like that. But we're seeing this new power center set up here, which, in my opinion, is going to be much that better. It's an international stabilization force. And my opinion is, whenever they start talking about one world government, you're back to evil people and the enemy and that kind of stuff. So they're talking about 180 skyscrapers going up in Gaza and the new Riviera and stuff like that. But also, as I looked into this Board of Peace, like I say, they're inviting all of these different world leaders into it, except for the Canadian Prime Minister. But anyways, the truth of the matter is they're talking also, there were words in there that were interesting of other world outbreaks that they were going to mitigate or cover. And it's like, my personal opinion is we don't police the world. I mean, that's just, it's like, that's not our job. I know that the Hungarian leader, Viktor Orban, he's been invited and is accepted and the others, but it's kind of it's another power play coming up, I think, that leaves me with lots more questions than anything else. So I thought that was interesting.
I have an observation. In this Board of Peace, and, you've the Canadian guy was uninvited, and Putin is invited and all of this. We're the Gazans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's inviting the people who supposedly this is all about, right? That we're going in there to make sure that the killing stops and that Gaza is protected. But you're talking about the skyscrapers and stuff going on. Like, I've looked into it a little bit, and I don't see where there's any real representation from the Gazan leaders on this Board of Peace or this reconstruction or anything like that. It just seems like, if anything, and I agree with you 100%, Tim, the whole Jared Kushner thing is, he's a Jew. I think he's representing the state of Israel. And it doesn't, to me, it's kind of the magician's trick again. It sounds really good. Board of Peace, we're going to stop the killing and the genociding of the Gazans, and we're going to rebuild Gaza. But no one is really talking about rebuilding Gaza for the Gazans.
Exactly.
And,
no, it sounds like an extermination. It sounds like we come in the name of peace, but we're going to bring war and exterminate you.
Well, yeah. 100%, or relocate you, because if you go back not too many months ago, 6, 8, 9 months ago or whatever, maybe it's been a year ago, the Trump administration, early on in the administration, was pushing very hard for, like, Jordan and the new state of Syria with the jihadi ISIS guy that's running that now, to relocate the Gazans to those countries, to Syria and Jordan and places like that. So they're getting taken away from, quote, their homeland and put into these foreign countries, and I guarantee you they're never coming back.
Yep.
That, you know, the ones that didn't get exterminated by the Jews are getting relocated to foreign countries, so that you're getting a new beachfront property that the Israelis border, that the state of Israel borders, and it's just going to be the Israeli Riviera. That's what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah. And who's going to be living there, staying there, making the money? And talking about money.
Who'd want to go there?
Yeah, well, there's that. Right? But I was talking about money. I did a little checking into this whole Board of Peace thing. And the countries that have invitations to join that I'm aware of are Argentina, Egypt, Albania, India, Turkey. There's some others. Vietnam, Kazakhstan, Hungary, I've all accepted. But the money angle is you get a 3-year trial membership, basically, for, I don't know, I guess free, I don't know. But then if you want a permanent membership or a seat on the board after that, it's going to cost you $1 billion. So,
yep.
You know, that's okay. So, but there's, you're back to that money angle again. I just don't see it. I don't. And also, aren't these all the same players, a lot of them, that have been problems in the past as regarding no one's been overtaking, you know, terrorist output and everything else. But it's I don't know. It just seems strange to me. There's a lot of these leaders that are at odds with everyone else. So the Polish president, what's his name, Karol Meraki, said that he had been invited, but was considering his response. But he said, well, Putin was invited or is, you know, accepted, and we're at odds with him. So, I, you know, there's it kind of, for a Ministry of Peace or, you know, whatever, Board of Peace, I call it ministry, but the Board of Peace thing, it seems like there's a rocky, kind of a rock, like you're trying to throw a whole bunch of people who don't get along anyways together, get $1 billion off of them and run with it.
The three countries that stood out to me, Tim, was Turkey and Hungary and Russia, because if you look at those leaders, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, and then Orban from Hungary and Putin from Russia, they have all been very hypercritical of Netanyahu and Israel.
Right.
And that to me is a almost a rogue's gallery of, like you said, it's kind of a mixed match group of people that on paper, from their comments and stuff, it doesn't seem like they would be getting along very well at all.
Yeah. The peace inside of the board would be kind of in question to begin with. Right. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just about the $1 billion seat. I don't know. But
I worked for a guy one time, and there were some of us that were supervisors, and we had a real hard time getting along. And he called a meeting, and there was about four or five of us that got into the room, and he went over and locked the door and said, I'm tempted to give you all 30 minutes, and whoever's left standing is the guy that's going to make the shots and call the shots here. And you think that's what's happening? Maybe they're just going to lock the door and see what happens.
It makes you wonder, right? So
yeah, no kidding.
There's a lot of the other thing that we talked here a while back about the whole business in Gaza with the. Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour. Do you want to take a break now, Jason? Or keep going.
Oh, go ahead and finish that thought, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. We talked here a while back about Doctors Without Borders in Gaza, and there's a big thing now. Netanyahu's trying to drive Doctors Without Borders out of Gaza, and of course, there's no hospitals or medical care in Gaza to speak of, at least from what I can find out. I mean, but
not anymore.
Yeah, the Israeli government's funding a huge advertising campaign in Britain, and they're basically attacking the MSF, which is Doctors Without Borders, but they want them out of there. And they're talking about, they've accused the MSF of grave misconduct in Gaza and behavior that contradicts the fundamental ethics of international humanitarian action. And, you know, I can only assume that that means that they're saving the lives of people who are have their arms or legs blown off, or pregnant women in the middle of this conflict and everything else. And as I already said, I think the other thing they really don't want over there is they don't want the cadre of reporters that go along with the MSF or the Doctors Without Borders group. There's always a large group of media that follows these people around. And in essence, that is their defense from being abused and misused in these areas of severe upheaval. And because it's like, hey, the only thing we're here to do is to help people who are injured or sick. We don't really care about your politics. We just want to. And so we're seeing that go on there, which is just another one of those cards in the house of cards that was going on. I thought that was interesting. So,
yep.
Yeah. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back for the second hour right after this song.
A bureaucrat woke up one day with nothing much to do. Tried to put his street clothes on, but couldn't find his shoe. The night before, he tied one on, now cobwebs filled his head. By afternoon, he called in sick, and then went back to bed. The next day, he felt shaky, but he made it off to work. Increase his pay and take another perk. Although the people cried out loud and told him what to do, instead of trying to cut the cost, he increased revenue. Yippee-yi-yo! Yippee-yi-yo, yippee-yi-yay. hang 'em high. My senator just voted yes to pass the Brady Bill. He thinks if he can take my guns, it's him that won't be killed. He doesn't give a hang about the crime he helps create, as long as bribes keep coming in. Americans can wait. Yippee-yi-yo, yippee our way. Vengeance is on the way. It's time we hang 'em, hang 'em, hang 'em, till their toes are dangling. Stretch those traitors. Use old-fashioned justice. Go out and get a rope and hang 'em high. Check 'em out, size 'em up, hook 'em up, find 'em out. If they're in, vote 'em out. If they're out, hunt 'em down. Drag 'em into the court, every traitor a sword. Use your vote like a rope, hang 'em high. Hang 'em high.
And we're back. January 24th, 2026, hour number two here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, coming to you live this morning. And where are we going next, guys?
About ready to go stateside.
That'll work.
So, we could talk about Greenland a little bit. I mean, still in the...
Wait. Greenland is a part of the United States, Tim. You didn't hear?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly some effort there. That's kind of like it could be, could not be. Yeah. So, I think I was reading through, you know, you're trying to find out this whole Greenland thing, and one of the things I was reading, some of the lamestream stuff or mainstream stuff, and I thought it was interesting that they all talk about, well, we want to get a hold of that because, you know, as the island thaws off because of global warming, it would be a good thing. It's like the science of that was is if that area went to like 70 or 80 degrees tomorrow, it would take a century for it to, you know, thaw off to any degree. So I just thought that was interesting. And that's just a for free in passing, kind of like, wow, really?
Yeah,
but I see we've deployed a bunch of military aircraft over there. Is that about European tension, or is that a Greenland thing? Any thoughts on that?
Both. That's my thought.
Could work either way. So.
Yeah, I think that I saw an interesting map this week, and. I mean, I feel like it's something I should have known, but until you see it with your actual face, you know, and your eyes, it was kind of the I don't know, 50,000 foot view of the top of the world, right? And you're looking at it, and when you look at something other than a flat map, which is what they keep showing you on the talking head TV, when you look at that view from the top, it really puts it in perspective. Greenland really is our neighbor. Like, it's right there. I mean, it is right next to us. And I heard an interesting commentary, you know, talking about the Danish government being in control of Greenland. And the guy, the commentator that was talking about this subject, said if you put it in perspective, the capital of Denmark are Boston, Massachusetts. Which one do you think is closer to Greenland? Well, the answer is Boston, Massachusetts. It's actually closer to Greenland than the capital of the company or the country that lays claim to it. And looking at it strategically and really putting some thought into it this week, maybe too much thought, is I think this I think a lot of this is economic with Greenland, but I definitely think the military aspect is there as well. I think there's some credibility to the rare earth minerals that haven't been exploited there. But it's not just the rare earth minerals when it comes to the economic side of it. It really has to do with the shipping channels of that Arctic Seaway. And right off the top of my head, it's escaping me. But I think Russia has they have something like 14 or 15 nuclear-powered ice-breaking submarines that are traveling regularly. And this may be – a lot of this may be control of that northern shipping route. And that may be what Trump is trying to do. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at any of that or not.
I have not.
Well, and there is a huge North Atlantic shipping lane that goes through it. And I know that as far as international trade goes, there's huge competition with Russia and China, you know, for those shipping lanes, as well as the region's mineral resources. And when you look up the mineral resources, both oil and rare earth minerals, RIM, they evidently it's significant. I never really realized that it was that rich of a source, but I don't know that it should surprise anyone when we consider that rare earth minerals usually show up in volcanic, you know, areas or something like that. Iceland's extremely, I mean, there's talk about Iceland falling into that too. I mean, I was reading some noise about that. So basically, he was talking about taking the territory the easy way or the hard way, and he's talking about 10% tariffs on February 1st for Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, the UK, Netherlands, and Finland, which is part of the reason I don't know so much that it's that we're going to leave NATO is maybe get kicked out. you know, both situations equal the same outcome probably, but supposedly world peace is at stake, according to administrative, you know, to the administration. But there's, and militarily, no one would deny that militarily that's an issue. I mean, we have Alaska, which is militarily important from a European exposure. So Greenland might not be a bad thing either, right? So I don't know. Does it come down to what the people in Greenland want, or how does that work? I have more questions than answers.
One of the things that you said just now, and I got to make sure I say it right because I don't want to say it wrong, like I'm in favor. I think when you said world peace is in jeopardy or in play, I think something else, and maybe I'm praying this is what it is, but I do, as I sit here right now, I think this is what's going on. When we're talking about NATO and we're talking about the United Nations, we're talking about the WHO and we're talking about all these organizations, what we're talking about is that new world order. That one world mindset, that one world government that they have spent the last 160 years trying to create. I think that world order may be in jeopardy. That's really what I see here with this Board of Peace and you know, what seems like the Trump administration not really caring what Europe thinks or, you know, whatever, that they're pushing forward. It seems like there's an establishment of a new world order. I hate to say it that way, but it seems like what has been in place is losing its teeth very quickly. That, and now I'll say this, I don't know if that's good or bad. Time will tell, but I'm inclined to say right now, I think it's good. I think it's good. And I'll go back to this Board of Peace thing. You know, if the chairman of the Board of Peace was Benjamin Netanyahu some Jew, I would tell you that's a bad thing. But I look at Putin and Erdogan and Orban and all of these ones that are getting invited to go sit on this. And, Tim, I mean, you've read closely, more closely than I have. Has Netanyahu been invited?
Well, I haven't really heard. I actually asked that question yesterday. I was like, so is he on it? I mean, are they inviting him? So he probably would join as long as we paid, as long as the U.S. paid his $1 billion.
Absolutely.
I think that, and I don't think you're wrong. I think that this ties into America First again, because through a lot of the petrodollars, I think it goes back, if you want to get to it, it goes back to BRICS in a lot of ways again. A lot of these moves, if you think about it, have made American reliance and American opinion, they're trying to make it, what do you want to call it, insignificant or no longer important. And
right.
it seems to me that there might be some posturing and positioning here to keep the relevancy of America First, of American opinion and everything in play. And that may be what some of this is about. I mean, it may be, you know, short-term wise, it looks kind of grabby, but long-term wise, it would increase the relevance of our position on the world stage. Maybe. I mean, that's a thought. So, it makes me wonder.
The thought occurred to me, Tim. We were talking about everyone gets a trophy at the beginning of the show. And really, one of the main themes of this New World Order is every country is equal. That,
right.
You know, somehow France is just as important as the United States. Or, you know, the country of Haiti, well, they're people too. And, you know, they get a seat at the world stage, like in the United Nations. And when you really think about it, I think what Trump has said over the last several months is that's not true. Everyone doesn't get a trophy. Haiti is not as important as the United States. They don't get a say. That's kind of what it feels like, that the United States, whether it's the Monroe Doctrine or the Donroe Doctrine or whatever he's calling it, pretty much what they're saying is we control the Western Hemisphere. That's just the way it is. And I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, but I'll tell you, they're not really trying to hide it, which is what the New World Order has done. They've tried to, you know, hide it or obfuscate it or whatever. And at least it appears the United States is just coming out and saying, this is the way it is. You can like it or lump it, but this is the way it is. So that's interesting to think about.
Yeah, yeah. So possibly that's what it goes back to. And we're seeing all these things at home, too. I mean, as far as money fleeing the country and getting the foreign invaders or illegal aliens out. And it's interesting to me that so many of these people who are just like over here as far as the ICE, what do you want to call it, agitators or anti-ICE agitators go and everything, they're... Does anybody want to be represented by those people? I mean, normal people. So far, I haven't seen anything there that I would ascribe to be, you know, kind of like when you look at it, it's like, no, I don't want to do that. So, yeah, we're looking at some major changes on the world stage, and especially when you look out at a longer, you know, macro view. So it's coming.
Yeah, it is. Well, the phone number to call in this morning, if anybody out there would like to make a phone call, the phone number is 970-224-4203. I seen down in, while you're talking about the ICE and the ICE agents and stuff, down in Arizona, and this just sounds like, to me, it sounds like a recipe for disaster, to tell you the truth. The Attorney General, Chris Mays, came out and said it suggests that residents could shoot unidentifiable masked ICE agents under state self-defense law. And basically she just goes in and starts quoting the stand your ground laws and says, well, if you feel threatened, you can shoot them. And talk about that. That has the potential of really causing a mess. I mean, and how does that work? Will, you probably know a lot more about this than I do, but you have federal agents trying to enforce federal law, but then you have state, an attorney general saying that it's okay to shoot them. That just sounds like a bad deal, don't it?
Yeah. My understanding is it's not just Arizona. I think somebody from Keith Ellison's office in Minnesota has also cited the Castle Doctrine. Okay. He's the attorney general in Minnesota and said the exact same thing in Minnesota. So I didn't hear about this with Arizona, or at least I haven't read about it yet. But I think the same thing has been said in Minnesota. How it works, I'll give you a flippant answer. I guess we'll find out if somebody shoots an ICE officer. It's almost uncharted territory. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I could probably try to give you a textbook answer of how it should work, but I don't know. Does the state, if a citizen says, I'm going by what the AG said, this guy was breaking in my house, is the state of Arizona going to represent that person then? And trial?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. So if let's say that they're an illegal Somalian or an illegal Mexican or somebody illegally from whoever, who cares? And they shoot somebody in the state of Arizona or in the state of Minnesota, and the state attorney general says, it's okay for you to do this. We're going to protect you under state laws, but you're committing a federal crime. To me, it's just like, oh my God, it's just kind of mind-boggling. And if they're here illegally, they can't really be a resident anyway, could they?
Exactly. Or
is that a technicality if they're here for, if they live in the state for, 30 days, 90 days, whatever it is?
Well, I'm gonna say it this way: of if I move. I'll use Texas because I know what Texas says. Jason, if you move here,
right,
you have 30 days, right, to establish residency, to get your driver's license or whatever, if you're here for more than 30 days. The way I look at that, though, is that applies to you because you're a citizen of the United States.
Right.
And all of these states have compacts with one another where I can move to Colorado, establish residency in Colorado because I'm a citizen of the United States, and Colorado has said, yeah, that's fine, and then I'm under the jurisdiction of the law of Colorado. I have taken an original standpoint, and Tim, I'd like to hear both y'all's opinion. I don't think any of these rights, so to speak, apply to an illegal alien.
I don't either.
Because they're not citizens.
No. Yeah, the interstate compacts apply. The interstate compacts apply to you even if you aren't officially a citizen of the state that you're visiting. It's just like your driver's license. Your driver's license is honored in that other state because of those compacts that say we'll recognize Colorado's license in Texas because Colorado recognizes our license. Your driver's license in Texas, and it's all because you are a citizen of the United States. These people have no citizenship at all, So as illegals, they don't, they're here only on, what would you call it? It's all predicated on goodwill and, just you're a visitor.
I'll use the hypothetical with this skirt AG that's down there in Arizona. If it's not ICE and it's not an illegal, say it's an FBI agent that's serving a child pornography warrant that gets himself shot, are she going to represent the child pornographer?
Right.
Good question.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, it's just, but it you can see where it's also, it's just like throwing gasoline on a fire. It's like, hey,
that's exactly right.
We want to fight here. We want somebody. When she came out and she said, I want somebody to shoot an ICE agent. That's what I think.
We have said it on this show time and time again. They desperately want one of these crazy leftists to kill an ICE agent.
Yes.
They desperately want that to happen because they know the response from this administration is going to be just a hammer that comes down, and that's what they desperately want. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They said from the beginning, Trump's a dictator. Now they want him to act like a dictator, and he hasn't. He hasn't acted like a dictator, but you see some crazy killing ICE agent or one of these task force guys doing the work of ICE or whatever the case may be. That happens. That's what Tim always talks about with problem, reaction, solution, right? They're causing the problem to see Trump's reaction. And that is what they're praying for. They're praying to Lucifer, their God, that this will happen. And now you have elected attorney generals encouraging people to murder ICE agents, call it what it is. But they're not doing it for the holy cause of immigration, that everybody is a citizen or anything like that. They're doing it because they hate Donald Trump. They're doing it because they're trying to start.
They want a civil war. Yeah.
They want a rebellion.
Yeah.
They want a rebellion. That's what they want. That is what they want.
We're seeing them put geolocators on ICE agents' cars if they see them get out of a vehicle or something and trying to follow them home. And we're seeing things like this go on, and that's an escalation of these agent provocateurs in order to bring about some kind of a desired response on their part.
What you just said, Tim, you guys stop and think about this. Just average Joe guys driving around, right? Just us three. We're doing our business. We're running to the auto parts store, running to the hardware store, whatever we're doing. And we have someone follow us home, and we find out they've put an Apple AirTag on our truck. Would you feel threatened?
Yep.
Yeah, I would.
Now, put it in perspective of this post. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you put it in perspective of this politically charged environment that we see in Minneapolis and other places, and the same thing happens. These guys are just human beings. But just like we're talking about the AG in Arizona that's desperately wanting something to happen, that is provocative behavior of what we're talking about, putting these air tags on the vehicles or whatever, because they desperately want one of these agents to do the same thing. That, you know, they desperately want to see an act of violence where an agent just blows his top and does something that maybe he shouldn't do, and it's recorded, because that is how you get chaos in the streets. And I'll tell you, I have Jason and I have had this, and I'll say it for everybody that's listening to it. I have a really hard time cheerleading federal law enforcement. I really do. I have a tough time. I have a tough time doing that, but I'm going
to
applaud.
I think that applies to all three of us here. But
I think they've shown a lot of restraint. Probably more restraint than I'm capable of.
Yeah.
Well, and they just had a federal judge come out and rule that, you know, they weren't allowed to, that they shouldn't be pepper spraying these people in the face while they're being spit on and while different things are going on. And and to my way of thinking is when you reduce or remove all of the the negative reinforcement for these people, you're building a scenario there where catastrophic results are going to occur. You know, and I think that's something that we've just said that. You know, this to me, and I don't want to be pepper sprayed in the face, but to me, having something like that as a result or as a deterrent is much more. Like you said, it shows a lot more restraint than, say, I don't know, beating somebody with a baton or something. You know, it's like, less than lethal. So go ahead.
It kind of handicaps that force continuum, right? Of that's the whole idea of year over year over year. There's been these Supreme Court cases saying, well, you should have done this and you should have done that because it was a less lethal. That's the whole idea of how less lethal even became an industry in this country of pepper spray, tasers, and whatever it is. That's to keep from killing people. And then you have these court rulings that tell the cops, you can't do any of that. Well, what does it leave the cops with? I guess we got to kill them again.
Well, and
yeah.
Let's Let's talk. I mean, I agree 100%. And we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to that here in just a second. But people need to realize these politicians, like these attorney generals and these judges, they're protecting. They're protecting the child rapist. They've been going after the felons. Those are the ones that they're trying to get out of here. These are not good people of society. These are the bottom of the barrel that they've been trying to grab and get out of the country. And you got judges and attorney generals and people that are – that's the people that they're standing up for and that they want part of their society.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, man.
Hey, Kevin.
Good morning,
hey, Kevin.
Kevin. Jason and Will. Jason, I took your prepper tip last week about my extra generator.
Yeah.
I did that yesterday, and I'm going to bail out. I just ain't going to do it, man. I got a neighbor up the hill. He has a Generac and a big propane tank, and we've got 2 inches on the ground. We're going to get another 14.
Ooh.
Expected. It's 3 degrees. I got a couple cords of wood under a tarp, and I don't want to dig it out. I'm canceling. On these toilet talks. Travel around Belarus a bunch of times. In places like bus stations and stuff, they had two bathrooms. There'd be a little lady there that if you gave her a nickel, she'd hand you toilet paper, and her job was to take care of that special toilet, or you could go on your own, and she'd give you a piece of toilet paper. Or you could go on your own and do whatever you want to do. And then travel around on buses, Belarus, or to go to Poland, the bus would just stop along the road. Everybody walks out wherever they can into the bushes and do business. My wife's telling me, watch where you walk. They stop here all the time. To get right into the... the United States, did you see where 2 ministrations changed this week in Virginia and Pennsylvania?
What do you think about that governor of Virginia, Kevin?
Oh, wow. Yeah, same thing in Pennsylvania. Reduced all crime. No minimums. They're carrying ballots. They can vote for months and all the mail-in ballots. No arresting illegals in courts. They're raising taxes. They're codified in the law. And so it's really bad. It is. I don't know how
Kevin, do you know the background? Do you know the background of the governor of Virginia?
No, I don't.
She was a lifelong CIA agent that held high-level supervisory positions at Langley in D.C.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yep. She's truly a deep state. I think she was a 25-year CIA employee that worked in the White House of Biden and Obama.
Oh, my. Wow.
John Brennan, the communist that was the CIA director at the time, she was his right-hand woman, I guess you would call it. And that's the stuff that you don't hear nationally, but that's who's the new governor of Virginia.
Wow. Yeah, and that thing about Pelosi and Newsom being related?
Right.
Yep. California has been controlled ever since Governor Brown way back in the day after Reagan. You know, it's just continues on. Hal Turner's putting out all good information again this week. February 11th, 34 Western Hemisphere militaries are going to convene. It's like a regrouping for all the countries of the Western Hemisphere getting together. And who knows what it's going to be about. I mean, this is really an important meeting. And it, a couple of the key radar systems in Iran have been knocked out by the United States. Did you read about that?
And, yes, sir.
It looks like it could be an organized attack on Iran, and we don't need that.
Kevin, do you know about the Armada that's currently floating toward Iran?
Yeah. Yes, there is. Yeah.
Yep.
What's going on with that? I haven't heard about that.
What Kevin was just talking about, that there's been some systematic taking out of missile systems within Iran, because remember they rained hell on Israel. The Golden Dome didn't work last time, and Iran was able to successfully attack Israel. Well, preemptively, kind of out of nowhere, there's been some taking out of Iran's missile system. Well, this is all that happened at the same time that the United States Navy, I don't remember how many ships, I think there's 14 ships that's currently headed in the direction of Iran.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yep.
Yeah. Israel called up 280,000 reserve troops.
Yep.
That's a sign. That's a sign that it'll be happening. And the beat goes on. He's got a story, too. Mexico runs 53 consulates in the United States, and they're organizing the ICE protests all the way up to Minnesota.
Yep.
Yep.
So I'll tell you something on that, Kevin, because that is coming out, that these Mexican consulates, and there's a huge one here in Texas that's in Houston, and they're partnered with groups like La Familia and LULAC, some of these special interest communist Marxist groups that represent immigrants. There's some talk that Trump may expel shut down the Mexican consulates across the United States and expel those dignitaries back to Mexico. Like, that may be coming very, very quickly.
That's good news. You got to admit that. He does take steps. He does.
And my understanding of that, there's nobody that can tell him no. That's all under the executive branch, that they're here by the permission of the executive branch. And if he says go, they go.
Wow. Yes. It is time for them to leave. It is. It's all out of control. And do you think we can get it back?
I think God can get it back.
There you go.
Yeah, and I was thinking about a term my dad always used to use. He called Jews kikes. And you never hear that anymore. People just don't use.
Well, Kevin, it's a new year. Why don't you try to bring it back? I'll start using it down here if you use it up there.
Yeah, I surely will. Very, very gladly. Yeah. And my German grandfather, he could speak Yiddish, Saxish, English, and German.
Oh, wow.
And you never hear about people talking Saxish. And you look it up, and it goes right back to Saxon. And our family goes back to Romania, Transylvania, way back when. I thank you for the broadcast. It's so enjoyable. It really is.
Well, thanks for calling, Kevin. You have a good weekend.
You too.
All right.
Stay
God
warm.
Thanks,
stay,
you too.
Stay warm.
And again, that phone number is 970-224-4203.
And, moving on. Yeah, there's, I don't know, we were talking about these ICE agents and, you know, what these judges and these, you know, these locals are doing. But it's like, I don't know, you really got, I don't know, it's like there's the division and they're, I think that they're really showing their cover. They're showing their colors. And to me, it is like this just more separation of goats and sheep and wheat and tares. And it's very possible that this is just, you know, it's the discernment of, you know, and the separation of the wheat and the tares. Because I really think that the tares are showing up and they're showing their true colors and who they are and what they stand for. And, you know, they come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of it has to do with desperation.
Yeah.
Well, they, I thought it was interesting. Tim Walz is, you know, we were talking about the Insurrection Act, I think, last weekend. And, Tim Walz is now, he's mobilized the Minnesota National Guard there, they're on standby. In order to, what is staging support for local law enforcement and emergency management agencies. It doesn't say anything about supporting ICE, obviously. The devil's in the definition sometimes. But then we've got basically, it sounds to me like the behind-the-scenes thing is like we're going to mobilize the National Guard there to put you guys down on ICE. And the Trump administration has called up for deployment, you know, military police, and I think 1,500 members of the 11th Division paratroopers. So,
in Alaska. So, did I understand that right? That those active, that they are ready to deploy from Alaska?
That's what I got. The 11th. Well, yeah, the
11th Airborne Division.
Guys, yeah, they're out of Alaska, and then the military police are out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So, but they're all geared up and on standby too. And then we got the Insurrection Act moved in there. It sounds it kind of sounds like a Civil War movement or something, you know? I mean, doesn't it?
I have an interesting observation on that. So, they're in the MP group, the military police group. It's funny that the ones from Fort Bragg are being called up versus the one from Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri is the largest MP installation in the country. There's just thousands of them that train there at Fort Leonard Wood. That's the MP headquarters for the United States. It's funny that the ones are coming from Fort Bragg, and then you have the 11th Airborne coming out of Alaska, because the MPs that are coming out of Fort Bragg, they're also airborne, and it's the only military police airborne company. And wow. You think there's going to be an airdrop on Minneapolis? I just think it's interesting those ones.
That's where I was going. I mean, if they shut it down, they have the ability to airdrop them, right? So, and it's not an armored division or anything else. It's, airborne. So that's, that's an interesting one to watch right there. The whole thing is, let's put it that way. So, it's interesting to me that they're stirring the pot. So I suspicion that my thought on the 11th Airborne thing out of Alaska was that it's awful cold in Minnesota, so they're sending in guys who are already used to it.
Who are acclimatized to it. Yeah, I know. Actually looked at that, Tim, and was thinking the same thing. It's like, well, they got about the same weather right now. They're running about 0 to 10 degrees. So interesting.
Yeah, you don't have to issue cold weather gear and balaclavas to everybody. You know, they're all set up.
They're all ready for it.
Yeah, but Wills, I think Wills is. I guess I hadn't realized that about the MPs out of there, but that's interesting too. And there's some interesting issues going on over there in Minnesota right now. I mean, it's definitely tense enough. So,
yeah, and
yeah,
I know I've talked to, and I think I brought it up last week, but I talked to Jim from Minnesota up there, and he was telling me that just, you know, where there was fields, there's new subdivisions, and it's, you know, all these brown people. It's they're Somalis and stuff, and they popped up and they build new houses and subdivisions, and they have their own subdivisions, and you go in there and there's, you know, they all have six or seven kids, and it's, you know, they're trying to outbreed us and just taking over. And, you know, it's like it's happening here. It's just crazy how much that they are trying to take over.
You think the Somalis are using these bathrooms in these new houses for additional bedrooms because we know that they don't use the bathrooms?
Yeah, probably.
Well, and the thing I read that was interesting was Minnesota, the Walz activated 3,200 National Guard troops Saturday, and he already has authorized up to 13,200 if needed. So this is not a small, it's not a small thing.
I like to think I'm a student of history, and I like to make comparisons because I'm not sure history repeats itself, but somebody smarter than me said it may not repeat itself, but it kind of rhymes. History does. And I'm just thinking about South Carolina going back to like 1860, and South Carolina, obviously it was a different military system than we have now, but they preemptively started raising their militias and drilling and doing things. Because they anticipated very quickly that they were going to have a conflict with the federal government, and they did at Fort Sumter. I don't recall, Tim, Jason, 32 and absence of natural disaster. I'm not talking about earthquakes or hurricanes or the flooding that we've seen. Have you seen a governor raise 3,200 guardsmen and then come out and say, I'll make it 15,000 if I have to. I'll bring an additional 12,000-13,000 in when there's not a natural disaster. I haven't.
No.
And if
not. No.
And if you look at what's going on in Minnesota, I know there's conflict happening, but Minnesota is not burning down. This isn't like the LA riots or anything like that. This is all preemptive. And I just want people to think about, if you're 3,200 troops, even National Guardsmen, they're not going back to their house in the evening. They're being deployed, so they're being brought from wherever they're at in the state of Minnesota. They're going to be deployed St. Paul, Minneapolis. They have to sleep somewhere. They have to go to the bathroom. They have to shower. They have to shave. They have to sleep. They have to eat. All of the things that go on. There's a lot of money that is going into this as far as logistics. Why are they doing that preemptively if they don't think the conflict's coming?
Yeah. It's some heavy duty posturing at the very least, and preemptive at the most. Yeah. And you can almost see two people standing over a line going, I've got this many, and them going, I got this many, and you know, it's like So it's tense. I mean, as far as on the national stage goes. And the other question I have is, if things get really bad, you can go in and grab a Venezuelan president in the middle of his home. Is that out of the question in a situation like this with a governor that wants to play these kind of games? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things on the table here, right?
I don't think that's far-fetched at all, Tim.
So, I mean, if the Insurrection Act is instituted, it puts on the table a lot of acts or a lot of things that can go. I mean, that's basically what martial law is.
Right.
So, it's I don't know why they chose Minnesota for that, but my guess is because the other thing that makes me think probably Minnesota was chosen is the exposure of this Somali daycare fraud and the millions of dollars. And we got Amy Bach in there and all these kind of things going on. And there was, you know, we're not talking about $1.99 change of hands in Minnesota. We're talking about billions of dollars. And
billions.
That's just what we know about. So somebody wants to take care of something.
Well, if I'm making my point on we have to get these people out of here, I think most of our people, just red-blooded Americans, Anglo-Saxon Americans, would look and say, yeah, deport the bastards. They're thieves. You know, they've just been stealing our money year over year over year. I think you stand a better chance of getting the majority of good Americans behind you if you take action like that. So yeah, I think that's a great ground zero.
Yeah. I think that's what all plays into why it's there. Yeah. So
yeah.
Because that's why there, you know, but that's why. I think.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, just a side note, but something that I haven't heard a whole lot about, but what about our southern border going into Mexico? Do we still got Mexicans coming in like crazy, or have they got that shut down?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's shut down.
It is.
As a matter of fact, if you believe, and I'll preface this by saying I don't really believe this, but I think statistically it's accurate. So if that makes sense, the last quarter of 2025, what the federal government calls their first fiscal quarter, because they do October is their October 1 is their fiscal day. There was zero crossings.
Oh, wow.
For the first time ever recorded. There was zero crossings. That's not going to be accurate. I know it's not, because people are going to slip in and out. But as far as intervention or interaction from Border Patrol and ICE with illegals coming across, it was zero. And the same thing can be said about the Texas Department of Public Safety, that they recorded no encounters. The border is effectively shut down.
Wow. Well, that's huge.
It is huge.
It is.
And it's also why you're not hearing it in the news, because the mainstream media doesn't want to admit Trump said, and then he did, because that's what happened. He said he was going to shut the border down.
Because we went from having, I mean, it was thousands a day coming in, wasn't it?
10, 20,000 if you count the Arizona, California, and Texas, yeah.
That's what I thought. So, man, that's just huge right there. But that's what I've noticed that, and I even did a little bit of looking and couldn't find hardly anything on it. So it's like, I wonder what is going on down there.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, and consequently, the American murder rate supposedly has gone down 125 years. It's 125 year low. You know what I mean? So it's dropped 21% from 2024 to 2025. So
that's a coincidence, Tim. There's probably nothing. There's probably nothing connected there.
Yeah. So, you know, when you see things like that, you're like, yeah. So,
did you ask for a friend?
Yeah, right.
Have y'all seen any of the video of the black mayor in Memphis praising the National Guard that's there?
No,
I have not.
Yeah, I got it sent to me from a guy who actually lives just outside of Memphis, and I think there's, man, 600-800. National Guardsmen that Trump called up and sent to Memphis, and this black mayor is praising. He's a Democrat and he's black, and he's praising Trump, because Memphis, wow. I mean, it's one of the most unsafe places, or was one of the most unsafe places in the country when you look at violent crime and murder rates, and what you were just talking about, Tim, with all time low. Like, they're readily admitting, Memphis is saying, we have not seen this level of peace and tranquility in the last 30 years in Memphis, where they went through a single month and no one got murdered.
Wow.
It was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, the things that we would take for granted, like in the places that we live, like, they're saying, yeah, we can't believe it. We made a couple weekends in a row and nobody got murdered, you know, and they're giving that right to having the National Guardsmen there as force multipliers for their cops. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't say he's racist.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Well, we only got a few more minutes left. I did want to silver closed at $104, well, $103.91 yesterday, all-time historic high number, absolutely pretty crazy. And, wow. You know, in the economic world, things have just seemed like that they're just continuing to go nuts. I mean, who would have thought that 2 ounces of silver, you could buy 2 ounces of silver, you can almost buy 1,000 rounds of 9mm with
yep.
2 ounces of silver, which I've never seen that. And as far as a ratio goes, it just seems crazy. I did have a...
Give it a couple weeks, and you'll be able to buy 1,000 rounds of 5.56.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's just crazy. I don't know. We got a couple minutes left. Prepper tip of the week. Anybody have anything that they want to throw out there?
Go for it, Tim.
I think that... one of the things I wanted to say was a lot of people are putting food away and different things like that. And I just want to encourage people to make sure that what you're putting down or what you're putting back or the stuff that you're buying is good for you. And I know that seems like kind of a duh, but, you know, we live in the age of a lot of genetically modified organisms and a lot of that kind of stuff. And just make sure that what you're getting is real and something that isn't going to eat you. So I think that was kind of mine. Just keep your eyes open, read some labels, and make sure that you're not getting junk. And just because it comes from a prepper supply or something doesn't mean it's good.
You know, that's right. I mean,
that's a real keep your eyes open type thing on that. Some of that stuff has, I don't know, there were some companies out there for a while that were doing protein in some of their stuff, and it was all soy protein or something along those lines. And it's like, yeah, that's great for you. So do some research, pay attention, follow the biblical food laws. Make sure they've messed with so much of our stuff. So be careful. That's fine.
Yeah, and I would say just think about your heat sources, your alternative heat sources. Here in Colorado, they've been turning off the power. Part of this, I don't know, some green deal that the governor signed in and gave the power companies the ability just to turn the power off basically whenever they want or whenever they do it to save energy, conserve energy. They do it in the name of protecting against wildfires, but... you know, when it's 0 degrees out and they turn your power out and you don't have a way to run your furnace or anything like that, you really need to be thinking about it because you've got a couple hours before your pipes start freezing and if you don't take care of business. So, you know, think about your options, do what you got to do, but to stay ahead of it.
Amen.
And we are out of time. Folks, thanks for tuning in today, and men, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
You bet.
I enjoyed it. We'll sign off. And until next week, God bless, folks. Thanks.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only two words.